else get our Bibles out? And we're going to continue in our discipleship training. Who? Anybody still want to be a disciple? Still want to be a disciple? Remember what I told you about being a disciple? You need to have what? Discipline. How many have a hard time being disciplined in anything? Oh, discipline is so tough. But except for you and me, you take your vitamins today? Me too, babe. Hooked up, right? Hooked up. Can't you tell? I feel much better. So discipline is something that takes a lot of work, doesn't it? It takes a lot of work. And I've been asking you if you wanted to be a disciple, and everybody says, oh yes. And I say to you, well, it's going to take some discipline. Oh, not so sure about that. Can't I just come to church and be a disciple? No. You can come to church and be a church attendee. You could do that. You could even come to church and be a member. Could you come to church and be a member? Well, sure you could. We'll give you an offering box of envelopes. We get your name in the directory, but that doesn't make you a disciple. A disciple takes what? Discipline. And not only that, but you know what? You can come in on a Sunday and leave on a Sunday and be a great church member. You could. You can come in the church and out the church on potluck suppers and be a great member. You can. We can give you all kind of work projects and you could do Light of Life homeless shelter. We get out and you get out and cook the meals. That makes you a great church member. But to be a disciple... To be a disciple takes what? Discipline. How many hours a day? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can be a church member for an hour and a half on a week. But to be a disciple takes what? That's it. Discipline. And I told you a week before last when I went away, I told you that one of the disciplines of being a disciple was prayer. And I told you that in order for prayer to be effective, it has some characteristics of it. Remember when I told you that? And I said the first characteristic of prayer to be offered to the Lord, which is acceptable, has what? Oh, who said faith? Thank you, Elder Bob. You paid attention. Faith. The next one I told you has what? And the third one? In His will. We'll talk a little bit about that today. In His will. You know, we have different kinds of will. We have general will. And we have specific will. Now we know that God's will for all of His people is to do certain things, and it's all the same. We are supposed to do what as His people? The Great Commission, Matthew, right? To go what? Go into, who's supposed to do that? All of us. That's His will for His children. Is that not right? Some of His will for His children is to love who? Everyone. That's His will. That's the general will for everybody. Does everybody understand that? That's His will for His children. So we know that, right? Love everyone. Go preach the gospel. Do this unto the least of these. Who's that for? All of us. But what about specific will? What about when He wants you to do something? And only you. You know we have a hard time with that. Oh, we really do. We have a very hard time when the God calls upon us and He says to us, okay, you want my will to be done in your life. You prayed that my will be done. How many of you just did the Lord's Prayer? How many of you skipped that part that said, thy will be done? Who skipped it? Nobody skipped. Who all prayed that way? You know when you prayed that way, Sue, God thought you meant that. How many of you know that when you prayed that way, Pastor, He said, okay. God's kind of like that. God kind of says, well, you prayed that way. That must be what you want. It's my will to be done in your life, right? How many prayed that prayer? How many said, thy will be done? How many meant it? How many just said it because it was in that part? It was the next thing to say. It's in there. It's in there. So I just said it. But disciples mean it. Mean it. You know, and one of the things that I do as a chaplain for the company that us guys work for, is I do end of life. And I want you to know that there are children who take care of their parents, and there are children who do not. Amazing thing happens that when I'm called to some situations, I would like to tell you that this doesn't happen, but it happens often. Often. I get a consult from me to go talk to some of the children of a parent who's dying. And they call me. And there's something that has come up within the family, and they're calling the chaplain. The chaplain needs to talk to somebody. Everybody kind of get this idea? So I go and talk to this individual who told a nurse or a social worker or PT that they want to talk to me. And so I go and I talk to this individual, and the conversation kind of goes like this. I'm doing everything. I'm going to my mother's house. I'm shopping for my mother. I'm cleaning my mother. I'm waiting on my mother. And my sister is not doing anything. Oh. Well, what's your problem? What's your problem? Do you hear me? Don't you get it? Oh, I get it. So you don't get it. Well, what do you mean? I'm the one that's doing all this work and nobody's helping me. And your problem is what? And they look at me like, oh, I called you. See, what the person wants is for me to affirm that, right? Oh, that's right, poor little you. Let me sit down and sob with you. I can't believe they're doing this to you. And that's God's will for you and not them. How many can understand that? That's God's will for who? You. And not them. Is it possible that God could lay something on your heart that he does not lay on somebody else's heart? Is that possible? Yes. Oh, but it is. Isn't it? Is it possible that God has given this person a caregiver heart? This is who God created you. Charlene's downstairs. You know what? I see what Charlene does. As a home health aide, you guys know what I'm talking about? As a home health aide, I'm not called to do that. Are you too? I'm not. I cannot go change a person's, we can't call them what I want to call them, pull-ups. I'm not called to do that. I am not called to go into an adult person's room and bathe them. I'm not called to do that. How many are not called to do that? Charlene is. I'm not. She is. You know what? If somebody in here right now threw up all over themselves, let's just be real. There would be a person in this room that would come up here and clean that person up and not have a whimper about it. Somebody would go, oh my God. But somebody would come up and clean that person up and not say a word about it. You know why? Because she's called to it. How many understand that? What if she stood there and said, well, I'm not going to do it because none of you are going to do it. How come I'm always doing it? How come I'm always the one that's got to do it? She wouldn't say a word because she's called to do it. How many understand that? Turn in your Bibles to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. And you know what? A lot of you will know this passage of scripture because you love to quote it. Or you love to quote it to somebody. I know a lot of you in this room, a lot of my brothers and sisters know this passage of scripture. How many know it before we read it? How many know it? How many love to quote that to somebody when they're going through something? You know, you throw that one out there, right? Here's one for you. Bang!
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Oh, how many already knew that passage of scripture? Didn't that one like in your hip pocket? But I'm going through a trial. Hey, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Oh, well, I got this thought. But you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. So how many know that? Don't you like it? Bang, bang. You give it that one. Bang, bang. Right? But let me explain something to you. How the passage of scripture goes. Brothers and sisters, it says I can do what?
All.
What's the second word?
All.
No, before I to say I will. Oh, snap. It does not say I will. It says I. Wait, that's something. Ain't that just a hook? I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, but I might not too. It does not say I will. It says I. Sometimes we like to do this, don't we? I know I can do it, so go ahead and do it, Lord. I'll chill out. You go do it. Guess what? That is not how this works. If I have the size of a mustard seed of faith, who can move it? You. I can move mountains. I can say to that mountain, move from there to there, and it shall be done. Who has to say it? If you are sick or ill, you should call. Who should call? You should call. I can't do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, but I don't have to do it. Do I? Kind of crazy that way. You know, we want the Lord's will to be done in our lives. But what are you willing to do about it? Really? You want His will to be done? But what if He has something in store for you that He doesn't have in store for someone else? We're going to look at a great story today that I know you all know by heart, and you probably don't even have to turn to it. It's the story of David and Goliath. And you can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you want to follow along with me, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The story of David and Goliath. How many know David and Goliath? You know the story, right? David and Goliath. Well, I want to present this to you maybe in a way that you never thought about before. I know you all know about Sling flinging David with the sling, right? And hit him in the head with the stone. You all know that part, right? But let's talk a little bit about what's going on with David and Goliath. And if you want to follow along, that's fine, but I would really, really rather have you listen to me. We have the stages set. We have the Philistines on one mountain, and we have the Israelites on another mountain. And they're looking at each other. And at the bottom of the mountain is a valley. And someone's down in the valley shaking his fist at somebody. Who's in the valley? Goliath. So we have the Israelites on one side of the mountain. We have the Philistines on the other side of the mountain. And down in the bottom of the mountain is a what? A valley. And that's where they're going to get it on. And down in the valley is who? Goliath. He's going, come on down there. That's the stage, right? Do you know how long they're up on the mountains before anybody starts to fight? 40 days. They're camped out for 40 days. They're up for 40 days. Yeah, you think you're so bad. Oh, yeah, you think you're so bad. And Goliath, come on down here. 40 days. 40 days. Nobody's fighting. You know why they're up there 40 days, Mark? Because they know the first one down in the valley is going to what? Lose. Because where's the other guys? Up on the mountain. Everybody follow this? They're on the opposite sides. They're up high. Nobody wants to go down in the valley because they know the first one down there is what? Going to get a licking. Because everybody's going to come down on top of them, right? So, hey, you. You know, we'd be saying, your mother. We do the mother things. That's what we'd be doing in our era, right? Well, your mother is so ugly, they tie up all. You know, how many know those things, right? Not you, though, mother. You are so gorgeous. You are so gorgeous. And so the stage is set. And Jesse, the father of David, says to David, because he's the youngie, he's home. He says to David, hey, go up there and find out what's going on with your brothers. Because his brothers are up there getting ready to fight, right? And so the father sends Jesse sends David, go up there and check on your brothers and bring back me word to see if they're okay. But you follow this? So David runs up to Saul, checking on his brothers. And he heard this giant of a man down in the valley. And he's calling the Israelites names. And worse than that, he's calling God names. And David says to Saul, I'm going to go down there and give him peace of my mind. I'm going down and give him peace of my mind. Everybody got the stage set? That's the stage is set, right? The Israelites on one side, Philistines on the other side, Goliath down there egging them on. Jesse says to David, hey, go up and check on your brothers. Meet me back where, let me know how the brothers are doing. Okay, Jesse shows up and he finds out nobody's fighting. And he looks down the valley and this guy goes, hey, you're a goddess. And the stage is set. David says to Saul, I'll go down there and fight him. Now David is seeing that nobody's fighting. David says to Saul, I'll go down there and beat him up. And so David has now God's will in his life. God's will for David, according to David, is to what? Go on down there and take care of him. So David looks around and he sees, well, wait a second. Wait a second. What about some other guys that ain't going down and beating him up? If they're not going, guess what he could say? I'm not going. Because I'm more concerned about what everybody else is doing than what the God has for me to do. How many can understand that? Isn't that much like us too? Isn't that just like us? It really truly is. It's kind of like an altar call experience. Well, go if you'll go. I don't know. You want to go? I don't know. You'll go. You'll go if I'll go. Let's ask Mike if he's going. You going? Well, I'll go if you'll go. Well, Al, you want to go? Yeah, I'll go. Finally got to find enough people that's going to do what? They're going to go. It's kind of like women going to the bathroom. Well, Christina, it is. I hear the dialogues. You got to go? Yeah, I'll go with you. Come on, let's go. Like, go to herd. Girls going to herd. Now, I can tell you, I'm 61 years old, right? And I have never not one time said to Eric, hey, you want to go to the bathroom? Hasn't happened. Jim? All those guys who do not ask other guys to go to the bathroom, stand up. Let me see it. Now, see, look. It is unanimous. Turn around, look back there. See those sweet guys? Okay, sit back down. Now, how many women has asked somebody else, you go into the bathroom? Any woman has asked somebody else, stand up? You see? You see? Sue? Lori? Your sisters, they don't count. And so it is, we're more concerned with what everybody else is doing, right? You want to go down and accept Jesus? I don't know. You going? I don't know. Let's ask Ed. Ed, you going? That's what you do. You want to go out and cook for the homeless? I don't know. You want to go? I don't know. You want to go? That's the way that we do it. But see, God sometimes has a job for just you to do. Just you. And David is being called of the Lord to go on down there and take care of business. And he could have looked up in a mountain and said, well, none of them are going. I'll go when they go. No, David said, no, it's my job. My job. I'm going. Why? Because he asked me, not you. He didn't. And when he asked me to do something, it's not determinant upon whether he asked Robin to do it and Colin to do it or Tammy to do it. It doesn't matter if he asked all of you to do it. He asked who to do it? Me. It's my job. And I got to do it to the best of my ability. Is that true? So he says to David, David, go down there, take care of that. So he turns to King Saul. Now, King Saul, it says in the scriptures that he is the largest man in Israel. Do you know that? Mighty. He's big. How many know Saul's big? Saul is huge. Saul is strong. Saul's a big dude. In fact, it says in scripture, he is the biggest in all of Israel. And what's he doing about Goliath? He's doing worse than nothing. Because he's saying, oh, this is the day we lose. That's what he's saying, right, Ed? We're going to get beat. This is the day we're going to lose. Oh, God, this is it. He's doing worse than nothing. He's already determined that he's going to lose. And he says to David, well, David, if you have to go on down there and beat up on him, you better take my armor. So he calls an armor bearer. He calls his armor bearer, and he says to him, hey, do you know that some Baptist churches have armor bearers? You ever hear of that, armor bearers? That's pretty cool. I got a lesson from my assistant chaplain, Kelly. She goes to a Baptist church. They have an armor bearer. Yeah. And I said, what's an armor bearer? I know what that is, but an armor bearer? What's an armor bearer? And she looked at me like I fell off a rock. She said, you don't have armor bearers in your church? And I said, no. She said, well, who prays you up? I said, who does what? She said, who prays you up? I said, okay, give me some more of this. She said, oh, no, Pastor. You mean your church doesn't lay hands on you and pray over you before you bring a message? They don't make sure your armor's on? And I went, no, they don't. And they have armor bearers. And the armor bearer gets the pastor, gets him a room, prays him up. Make sure he is ready to go into battle. And they made sure the armor is all over him. And the armor bearer is in the back of the church. The armor bearer will see if any distractions going on, the armor bearer takes care of the armor bearer. How many understand that? That's a pretty darn good concept, right? The armor bearer makes sure the pastor is prayed up for a battle, and makes sure the armor is on that man. Pretty good concept, huh? Maybe we should start that. We talk about that, elders of the church. We talk about that. The armor bearers. That's a pretty cool concept, right? So Saul says, see, I can just go from topic to topic. You know how I can do that. It's ginkgo biloba. CoQ10. Saul says to David, well, if you're going to go on down there and fight him, put on the armor. He calls the armor bearer. He says to the armor bearer, give the boy my sword, give the boy my shield, get him ready to go. Get him ready to go. Isn't it kind of crazy that we're always looking outside of God's word for help? There's always got to be a way in doing it. Somebody's going to tell you how to fight. Somebody's going to tell you how to do it, right? We spend all this time and all this money outside of God's word for help. Isn't that something? Everybody's going to tell you how to fight the battle. Everybody. Saul's telling David, this is how you're going to fight. And David puts on the armor, and it doesn't fit. It's too big. Why? Because Saul is what? The biggest man in all of Israel. And David's probably a teenager. So guess what? It's not fitting. He looks funny. He can't move. It's too big. It's too big. And so how Saul is telling David to fight isn't going to work for David. It isn't going to work. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need all this help. How many of us need help? Help in whatever, right? We need help, right? And sometimes we go outside of God's word to get the help. Don't we? It's kind of crazy. We seek out all this help and the person's not even on the same page as me, right? How can a person help me if they're not on the same page as me? It's not possible. Not possible. For God's children. Is it? No. A disciple always refers to the discipline. And what is the discipline for God's children? I'm holding it. It's right here. It's right here. Isn't it? You know, where I work, where Sue and Lori work, we have alternative therapies, don't we? No, I'm not. Please. I wish not to insult anybody today. Next week, maybe. But not today. So, I'm going to... If I'm insulting anybody, I don't mean to. And this is recorded, so I'm going to be careful because there are people where I work with listens to this. So, we have alternative therapies where we work like aromatherapy. Aromatherapy. Where, if you can't sleep, we have bottles of lavender. And you put it on a little thing on your pillow, and it helps you sleep. I tried it. I had to take Allegra the next day. My eyes. I couldn't open my eyes because I slept with lavender. So now I couldn't sleep and my eyes were itchy. You know, we have lavender. It's cool. It's cool. If you have lavender stuff at home, good for you. Just don't wear it here because I need Allegra. And we have all kinds of aroma stuff. Stuff for stress, stuff for anxiety, right? Stuff to help you sleep. Cool. We have acupressure kinds of stuff. Acupressure kinds of stuff. If you're hurting in an area, you know, push on it, like a push on it kind of thing. And we have a wonderful friend of ours, a nurse, who does tapping therapy. And I took a course in that with her when I was anxious and depressed, and I learned how to tap. I'm not making fun of it. But here is the tapping therapy. Right? And you give yourself good thoughts while you're doing that. I'm not making fun. I'm stating the way it works. I found the best therapy for me goes like this. That worked well for me. How many understand that? All the other stuff didn't work. It didn't work. Prayer, spending time in His Word, worshiping Him when I didn't feel like it, worked for me. Because I'm a child of God. It worked for me. Help me understand that. And guess what? It's going to work for you. You know, as I stand before you, and I'll tell you this, this is June the 3rd, I think. Probably a lot of you probably don't remember. This is an anniversary date for me, and I'm not ashamed to tell you. This is the day I checked myself into a hospital. But today, Beaver Medical Center, June 2nd and 3rd, I spent time in the hospital. Well, guess what? I'm not in a hospital anymore. And guess what else? I'm not on any medication either. And guess what else? I feel great. And guess what else? I've got a life. I have another thing to add to my resume. Been there and done that. And I ain't going back. Help me understand that. And that wasn't through tapping. It wasn't by lavender. It wasn't acupressure or acupuncture. It wasn't seeing some third world person telling me all kinds of things in the air. It was His Word. And when you're going to fight the battle, you have to fight it according to His Word. Help me understand that. And David said, I don't need your armor. I don't need your shield. I don't need your sword. I don't care whether all those Israelites are going down and beating up on him. I don't care what the world is doing. He called me to do it. And if I got the Lord in my side, we're a big enough army. Help me understand that. What's he calling you to do? Really? What's he really, truly calling you to do? You know, when I do marriage counseling, for example, I'm going to be doing this at 6 o'clock tonight. I'm going to do this at 6 o'clock tonight. It's going to be like I'm a referee. I feel like I'm in the ring. I'm serious. Well, yeah, well, he said, she said, he did. Oh, go to your corners. Go to your corners. That's what it's like. How many understand that? That's what it's like. Man, I gotta be careful. I'm choosing my words. I was down to Charleston, South Carolina, and Sissy and I left to go down there to that convention we went to. And all the way down there on Thursday, I was listening to this unbelievable fight between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. The police had to be called. The police had to be called. I mean, there were fisticuffs flying. And I'm saying, don't touch her. Oh, no, you didn't do that. And the words I heard, that's what I'm going to be seeing at 6 o'clock tonight. Are you kidding me? Who's it all about then? It's all about you. What you want, what you desire, what you need. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's always about you. Do you understand that? And when I tell people and I counsel, well, make it about you. Quit complaining about your spouse. Let's talk. But I don't want to talk about me. Well, duh. We're going to talk about who? You. We are going to talk about you. Because it is about you. Help me understand that. And so David made it about him. He said, I don't care about the rest of the world. I don't care about what they say, they think, or they feel. I know what God has for me to do. And I know how to do it. And so David goes down. Now listen to me. You've got to grasp a hold of this. Where are all the Philistines? On the mountain. Where's all the Israelites? Because they all know. They're mighty men of valor. They know the first one down in the valley is going to get what? Ed? First one in. Al, not going to be good. Because everybody else is going to get you from the top of the mountain, right? What does David do? He runs down the valley. He's not sneaking down. He's not hiding behind the rocks and the bushes. It says that David does what? He runs in the battle. He don't care about who's not in fighting. He doesn't care about the enemies up there. He doesn't care. It's not about everybody else. It's about him, the Lord, and his purpose. And David what? Runs into the battle. He doesn't walk. You know, he runs into the battle. He says, here I am. Now, I know you can call me all kind of names. You can tell me, well, cut me up and feed me to the birds. But you know what? Hey, Not today. It ain't happening today. Because I am here. And so is he. See, that's the hook. He reaches down into the riverbank. He pulls out two more pebbles than he needs. Puts them in his pouch. He pulls out one. You all know the story, right? The Philistines and the Israelites are watching. The Philistines, they're taunting. The Israelites are quaking. David's down there facing this giant of a man that even King old Saul won't go fight. And you know, isn't that crazy? This mighty man of valor and all that David's got. See, you're thinking, when I say to you, what does David have? I know what you're thinking. He has a stone. Well, he does. And he has a pouch, a sling. That's true, he does. But you know what else he has? Yeah. And you know what? I can go outside and practice with a sling all day long. On my own power. Probably not going to do much with it at all. But I got the Lord's aim. How many know what the Lord's aim? Whew. I said, how many know what the Lord's aim? All you got to do is what? See, you want to say, let it fly, right? Is that what you want to say? You want to say that, didn't you? You want to say, let it fly, huh? No, see, you got to get into the battle. You know what the trick to walking on water is, Mike? Getting out of the boat. I'm serious. Well, nobody else is getting out of the boat. Well, you're right. But they ain't walking on water either. Right? Well, I'm not getting out of the boat till Ed gets out of the boat. Well, Ed ain't getting out of the boat till Al gets out of the boat. Al's not getting out of the boat till Leo gets out of the boat. Somebody get out of the boat. Am I right? As soon as you stand up, what's everybody going to tell you? Sit down. You're rocking the boat. You can't win. Can you win? Clyde, can you win? Clyde, you're hearing me, right? Good. You can't win. Because the minute you stand up and take a step out, everybody's going to say, sit down. You're going to kill us all. That's what they're going to say. Right? I'm glad Peter didn't sit down. He walked on water. I'm glad David didn't care what everybody else was doing. David said, I don't care. I don't care what you're doing. I'm called to do this. As a matter of fact, don't get in my way. Just back up. Just get out of my way. This is my job. Help me understand that. Well, Goliath lost his head over that battle that day, didn't he? So what is God calling you to do? And is whatever it is he's calling you to do determinant upon what everybody else is doing? Is it? No. No. No, we have general will. And we said disciples pray that his will be done. How many pray that way now? You say, Lord, whatever it is, your will be done. Your will be done. You know what, brothers and sisters? Nobody else could pay the price for our sins except for who? Jesus Christ. Not the disciples, not everybody else, only him. That was God's purpose for him. Is that true? For him. What's God's purpose for you? Really? I'm going to let you know something, brothers and sisters, as we end this message for you today. And as I promised, you're not getting out here at 11:30. I'm a man of my word. God calls me to do something, right? So I look around and see if anybody else is going to do it. Well, I guess no, man, I ain't going to do it. Not me. That's not a disciple. That's not a disciple. Not at all. If God calls you to do something, you know what a disciple does? Go do it. Well, what about everybody else? Well, they'll do what they're going to do. I'm going to go do what I'm supposed to do. Is that true? Isn't that true? If you're called to take care of somebody, take care of them. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You do it. It's your job. If God calls you to go to the mission field, go to the mission field. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Go do what God calls you to do. Is that fair? If God wants me to go down there and be the referee at 6 o'clock, I got to go be a referee at 6 o'clock. Do I got to worry about what everybody else is going to be doing? No, it's my job. It's my job. How many know God has a purpose for your life? He does. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says what? I know the plans I have for all the ends. That's Pittsburgh Al. Did you catch that? There's a Christmas song that kind of goes like that. I know the plans I have for all of you. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. I know the plans I have for you. And you. You and you. I know the plans I have for who, Lori? You. And you, Ma, even you. And Tammy. Sandy. He knows the plans I have for who? You. You. Is his plan determinant upon what his plans are for everybody else? No, they are not. Right, Jim? I have the plans I have for who? You. Now the question that we need to ask is, what are you going to do about it? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Now here's the question. But will you? That's the question. But will you? Will you? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if everyone else goes. That's not it. Don't we love to sing it that way, though, Tammy? I will go, Lord, if my friend goes. Right? Right? No. No. I will go, Lord, don't care who else goes. I will go, Lord, if no one else goes. How many can say that too? I will go, Lord, if you need me, your people in my heart. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words. Help us to understand, Father, that you have a job for us. And that job that you have for us is not determinant upon what everybody else's job it is. It is my job. So, Father God, as we continue to be disciples and not just church attendees, we want to be used by you in whatever capacity it is. Father, help us to be like David. Help us, Lord, to understand it is your call. We just need to be willing. And all of God's people said, amen.